on air, WICC 600. Online, WICC600.com. Let's stimulate your brain with the Lisa Wexler Show.
Welcome back to the show. You know, yesterday I saw a number that was so alarming that I really needed to get clarification on it for me and for you. I saw in the Hearst Media that 675,000 unemployment claims were processed in Connecticut. And I'm doing the math. We're 3 million people in the state of Connecticut. If you get rid of the kids and retired people, you get rid of a lot of people. So what does that leave us with? Maybe 1.5 to 2 million? Maybe? 675,000 of us filing unemployment claims. So what is that? About 1 in 3? 33% of us no longer working getting unemployment claims? I was stunned by the number. So I actually asked Hearst Publications to provide a reporter for me to clarify, because I went on the DOL website and I couldn't make heads or tails of those numbers. I want to thank our next guest, Dan Haar, for calling into the show. Perhaps, Dan, can you tell me what those numbers mean? Are those individual persons? Are those cumulative claims? What does it mean, 675,000 unemployment claims? And welcome to the show today, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to be here on the show. You didn't get a reporter, you got a columnist, but I will try not to inject my opinion, as I do. So just the facts, ma'am, and it is, your math so far is exactly right. There are in the range of 2 million or so people of working age in Connecticut or so, it's give or take. There are about 1.8 million people in the workforce. That is people who want to work, people who are working or looking for work, and that's in the workforce. More of those people are not working now than ever before, of course, because of the crisis. But those are the top line numbers. That's the domain. That's the big, that's the pool, right? So, and there are about 1.7 million jobs. Now, you may ask, how is it possible that there are more people working than there are jobs? And the answer is we don't know, because they're two different data series, and it's always a mystery that the data series under which unemployment comes from is always more people, always shows more people working than the other series. And the answer is more murky than we need to know. Bottom line,
wow.
675,000 applications for unemployment assistance have come into the state. Many of those are repeats because, for example, if you are self-employed, you must apply for it and get rejected, and then under the federal, you apply again. And often that process hasn't worked very smoothly, so people have to apply over and over. Because, as you well know, self-employed people are not entitled to unemployment normally, but they are getting unemployment benefits in this crisis, in addition to getting what's called the PUA, which is the it's the federal unemployment bump up.
$600
a week, right? So,
right.
So there are three buckets. There's three buckets, right? And so bucket number one is your regular unemployment. Bucket number two is your self-employed people, and bucket number three is everybody who gets the PUA, which oversees the other buckets. So the 675,000 includes people who were rejected, who did not ultimately become qualified for whatever reason, and it includes a lot of repeats. And don't forget, Lisa, many people have not just applied and had to reapply because there was a glitch, but they've been unemployed, furloughed, and then back to work, and then back furloughed. Now, we're seeing that more in states like Arizona, where they opened and closed again, than we are in places like Connecticut. But nonetheless, I know of cases in Connecticut where people have been literally unemployed more than once, back to work. They have to reapply. So
I still want to ask, but here's what I don't understand. We're chatting with Dan Haar of Hearst Media. So if I apply and I get my benefits, I still have to every Monday put in an application. Am I now counted as two, or am I still the same one?
No, that's not a second application. That's just reporting
okay.
in. That's a different
okay.
thing. But however, okay. just to give you one more set of numbers, at the maximum, the maximum number that came in any one week was, I believe, in April, 103,000. Most weeks have been much less than that, of course, obviously. And the maximum number that were getting benefits at any one time, again, in April, was 400,000, give or take. I think it was a little less than 400,000. And so what we now know, what my colleague Alex Soule has reported, Alexander Soule, has reported, is that we were down, the numbers are lagging, but we're down, actually we're going to know more today when the unemployment comes out. And while we're talking, I can check and see if it's out.
Okay.
But we were down about, we should be down by about 50,000 from the peak, right? And probably more than that, but it's a lag. So at this point, we probably have 250 or 300,000 that are collecting unemployment at this moment. So the 675 is a deceptive number. That's every application that came in.
Okay. So some of them may represent the same individual more than once.
Who had to reapply because there was a glitch, or who had to reapply because he or she was unemployed more than one different time.
But we know that then conservative estimates are at least 300,000 to 400,000 people. So if it isn't one out of every three employees eligible in Connecticut, it's one out of every 4 to 5. It's still a tremendous amount of people. It's huge.
But it is going down at a relatively rapid rate right now.
Good.
It's not dropping like a rock, but it's going down at a rate of 25,000 to 50,000 per month.
So people are getting reabsorbed. They're working again. Mm-hmm. What about how long the $600 is expected to last? Isn't that running out soon?
Yes, the last week of July is the last week of that, and there was disagreement. The Democrats in Congress want to extend it, and the Republicans want to not extend it. And you may recall that in June, Governor Lamont came out on the Republican side and said he thinks, yes, and the reason for that is not an illegitimate argument. It is that there are many people who are getting that money who are not actively looking for work. And as you know, the first law of sociology always applies to these things, which is some do, some don't. There are many people who desperately need the money, who are out of work through no fault of their own, and who are using this money to get by and feed their families and buy, you know, health care and basic necessities, rent. And there are other people, probably a smaller number, for whom they are better off and they're making no great effort to find work. How do you separate those two groups?
Very hard to do. In fact, we had a business owner call here not too long ago who owns a small nail salon. And she was very perturbed about that very thing. She said, look, for people are over a certain age, I'm telling them to stay home. If people have a specific elderly person they're caring for at home, I'm telling them to stay home. But for people who could otherwise work, they're telling me that they're not I'm offering them this job to be rehired. I need them to be rehired. And they're saying to me, look, I'm getting more not being rehired and I'm staying home. She was very frustrated, very frustrated.
Well, that's right. And to add a little wrinkle to it, the governor's executive order, one of the governor's executive orders says that if you fear getting COVID back on the job, or if you live in a household with someone who's elderly, that is a permitted excuse for not going back to work, and you could still get unemployment. So if you're that nail salon owner and you call someone back and they say, no, I'm afraid of getting COVID, I'm not coming back, that actually becomes a factor that gets that person the ability to collect benefits. So this is a very complicated, very fluid, very fast-changing situation and very different for each individual, and yet we have to paint with a broad brush one single policy. I did just check, and the data is not in yet. It's expected to be in by noon, and it's 10 of noon.
Yeah, it's 10 of noon. Okay, wow. All right. Well, thank you, Dan Hart. So that really, technically 18 minutes before the hour.
I was looking at a fast clock.
Yeah. Well, we have to be on the clock here on the radio, right? This was very helpful, Dan Hart. Thank you for calling in, because I really didn't understand. When I went on the Department of Labor website and I saw that they separated into initial versus continued, and I couldn't make heads or tails of how they came up with the 675 number. It, like, didn't.
That's right. That's right. And when you see the continued number, I think it's right now it's in the range of about 290 or 300 or so, maybe a little higher. That's the number that when we get a report today, we're going to see how much that came down in June. And we hope that it came down significantly. So you may report to your listeners tomorrow what the report says.
I see. Okay. And what is And as somebody who is, you know, Dan Haar writes a, is it a daily column? Because I feel like I read you all the time. Are you writing a daily column now for the paper?
I write three times a week, and I also do some editing. I'm associate editor, some editing here, and it's been quite a few months being in the middle of it all. I think that the world is divided into people who have lost work and would like to get work back, and those who are in the middle of it and maybe have a lot of work. And that's one of the interesting phenomena in this.
Yes, there are people who are busier than ever. That is 100% true. Yeah.
Well, that would be you and I, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm happy to be able to do that and keep doing this job, because documenting, you know, there are so many sides to it. There's the human side of people struggling, and then there's the big picture of what's happening. What I would say about the unemployment situation is that don't think about this in terms of any other time, right? That at the peak of the Great Recession, we had about 180,000 people collecting unemployment, right? So you could look at this and say, oh my God, it's 300,000. It was 400,000 compared to 180. It's twice as bad as the Great Recession. But our expectation is that this is going to end much quicker, much, much quicker, because when things get back to normal, if they get back to normal, it's going to bounce back. And to be fair, there are economists who say, no, you're wrong. We're never going back. The world is never going to go back, or at least not quickly, back to where it was, because people will be skittish. People will not go back to shows. People will not go back to the office in great numbers. People are going to recalibrate their lives. That right now, and not the numbers of the day, that big question is the debate. And I still think
United
the world
Airlines.
Will go back.
United Airlines announced that they may be laying off as many as 30,000 workers because of that very skittishness.
Well, that's exactly right. And we hope that that's just the summer spike. I shouldn't say spike, because in many places like Arizona and Idaho, it's not a spike. It's a continuation. But we hope it's just that that's affecting United Airlines. Notably, by the way, United Airlines was one of the airlines that did not say it wouldn't sell middle seats.
Correct.
Delta and Southwest said, we're not going to sell middle seats. United and American wouldn't make that promise.
That's
so maybe
right.
United got hurt by that decision.
And you know what? Rightfully so. It was a bad decision, by the way. Bad decision.
I couldn't agree more. I agree.
We had Allison Sokol on of the Richfield Playhouse this week. And if you hear the way in which, and of course we want all of our not-for-profits and theaters to survive and thrive, and you hear the thoughtful way in which people who are come together as a group can sit, but then there's an entire row between them and somebody else, and the touchless experience, and the way in which their masks are compulsory, and they're just trying to figure out a way for people to be relatively near each other without being contagious. The airlines owed us at least that, Dan Haar. At least that. They owed that to us.
I agree. Question for you. I'm supposed to fly to California and drive east with friends end of the month. Would you do it?
End of this month, July?
Yeah.
What are you flying for or to? It depends. What are you doing? Because you have to see your
flying
parents.
Flying to California. Flying to California, visiting people, and driving from California back to Connecticut.
Well, the drive back, yes, I would do. That's not a big deal. The flying, weird, Dan, I'll tell you, we're chatting with Dan Haar. I actually am less afraid of the airplane. I'm convinced that the airplanes, I would fly JetBlue. I think they're doing a great job, management there, and I just have a lot of confidence in JetBlue that they're going to do what they say they're going to do. I'm a little concerned about the airport and the TSA and the unloading of myself and the closeness of people online. That's the part of the travel that gives me the willies a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. Yep, exactly.
But I don't have a problem with the driving. I mean, the thing, I guess, do you have friends along the way that you can stay at, or do you have to go to the hotel?
It's a mix.
If you can stay with friends, it's much better than staying at a hotel. If you can manage to find three friends around the country that will let you bunk in for a night, I wouldn't have any problem with the drive. I think the drive is fine. It's the airports, and I don't know. That's what's I'm hesitant, but I'm hoping I will change my mind by the fall because I haven't seen my own parents who are elderly since May, and I'm already getting hives. It's been too long. I'm not going to let too much more time go by. But I probably end up going to drive again. I drove down in May. I'll probably end up driving again around the Jewish holidays. I got to see my parents.
That's what I want to do. My father's turning 94 tomorrow. He says, if you fly out, I'm not going to see you.
Really?
He doesn't. He's 94. He's in good health. Thank God. But, you know, he's 94 tomorrow.
But what if you come and you're tested and you don't, and you see him with the mask across the room and you don't go near him for a few days? What about that? No?
That could work. Yeah. Yeah, that could
work. I think
work.
You have to be prepared to stay long enough to make your father feel comfortable that you're healthy.
There you go. Life in Cleveland. So, all right.
He's in Cleveland?
He's in Cleveland, yeah.
Oh, you can drive there. You don't have to take a plane. You can drive to Cleveland.
That'll be a separate trip. Hey, while we've been talking, I've been refreshing the Labor Department website, and the numbers are not up.
They're not up. All right, Dan Hart. Thanks for the latest.
I may have the wrong date because normally it's much later that it comes in. I had heard that it was supposed to come in today, but normally it's the third week of the month, so I could be wrong. But the point is that when it comes, we will see how many people went back to work in June.
Okay. Thank you, Dan Hart from Hearst Media, writing a column 3 times a week in all the different publications. You can't miss them, Connecticut Post, Norwalk Hour, whichever it is. It's all good. Dan Hart, thanks for joining us on the show today. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Lisa.
Pleasure. We'll be right back.